Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
We're going to be frightful tomorrow.
It's so delightful.
Keep it dialed in here to WCCO. We'll bring you the latest throughout the day. As these winds come in and this rain and the snow, whatever it is that comes in, we'll have it covered. Gary Trent Sr. has learned that, and he still loves it here in Minnesota. Why did you decide to stay in Minnesota, Gary? What was it about Minnesota after you played with Timberwolves that you said, I want to live here?
Well, you know, I went back home for a little while when I retired, and I got custody of my son. And once I got custody of Gary Jr., I wanted to get to a bigger city with more opportunities. And this was the last city that I played for an NBA team, and I just had the most relationships here. And, you know, things worked out for me. My family was here. My wife's family's from here. She's from here. So it just worked out simple.
Not too bad for your son either.
Oh, no, it worked out awesome. It was going to work out for him either way it go, because the knowledge that I possessed was going to be wherever I was at.
Okay, so he lands the $54 million deal. What's that like when you watched him sign that? And, you know, I mean, there's money and there's life-changing money, and that's called life-changing money forever. What did that feel like as his dad?
Man, that's family tree altering money, you know.
Yeah, that's family tree altering money is what that is right. That's a good way of putting it.
You know, to help your generations, and that's, you know, that's how a lot of these companies are. You know, somebody's uncle or grandfather kept passing it down,
down. And trust fund babies, man. You know, we're out there competing against trust fund babies, and they, you know, the old saying, they were born on third base, think they hit a home run. We compete against them every day, but NBA money can do that too. What did that feel like to you?
Man, the greatest thing was I was so happy for my son because of what he went through, what he dealt with, the way he was being looked over in Portland, like, you know, just a piece of chopped liver, like he was never going to amount to anything, you know, being in street clothes, being overlooked just due to draft status and not really being evaluated for his hard work and talent. And when he got his opportunity, it was just such a beautiful thing for me to watch the relief in his face and in his heart from all these years of hard work. You know, people think that, oh, he did this after 3 years in the NBA. There was 3 years in the NBA. There was a year of college. There was 3 years of high school. And we've been doing this since he was 5-6 years old. So, you know.
I can testify to that. I watched you in the health club shot after shot after shot, you and Junior.
Yeah. So this is like 16 to 18 year body of work that he actually had to put together to accomplish it. So this was not no overnight thing. And it takes a lot of perseverance to be able to say, I'm going to invest in something and get completely nothing for a guaranteed at least 20 years. And then there's a lot of people at the end of that road still get nothing.
Yeah, and maybe nothing. You may never get anything.
Yeah, maybe never get to the NBA, never get a scholarship, never get a G League. So you have to really be all in and believe in what you are trying to accomplish.
So Toronto wanted him, obviously. What were they seeing that they liked about him? Because obviously, you talk about draft stash, second round picks. Sometimes in the NBA, you know, first round picks get all the looks, and you know, as they say, and it moves from there. But what was it Toronto saw in him because they were intentional about this?
The upside of his age, being such a young player, the upside of, you know, his fundamentals and his shooting ability, you know. And I think when they saw all those things, those are what really looked into the factors of the things they were trying to build. You know, they got OG on one wing, they got Gary on another wing. Freddie's heading up the point guard position with some good sit-down defense. And you get some athletic bigs behind you in Siakam, and you guys could try to make some noise. So I think just, you know, beefing up the shooting. You know, if you don't have shooters, you're not going to survive in today's basketball game. And you look at what the Bulls did, look at what Brooklyn did, Milwaukee's the champ. So there was a lot of shooting and battling in the East, and they really just part of the rebuilding process in Toronto, and he's part of that.
When you coach, you still coach kids, and you watch a kid that's a good shooter. Is it up to you, the coach, then, to get him shots, or are there some kids that are really good shooters that you just can't get them shots?
No, if you executing right, you're going to get them shots. You know, if you got to get them shots, or your team's not going to do what it's supposed to do. So you get them shots out of the offense. And the thing is, you know, when kids are great shooters at a young age, you have to repetitiously and consistently stay on them about improving their craft. You know, because you might dominate some league here in Minnesota, or you might dominate a tournament or so here. Hey, there's a kid in Louisiana. There's a kid in California. There's somebody in New York. There's somebody in Chicago. There's somebody in St. Louis. So don't think you're the only fourth grader or sixth grader or eighth grader somewhere making noise. There's some other kids around this country whose parents have invested in them, invested in their belief, hiring for lessons, and are doing the same things that they're doing. So, you know, you can't rest.
What did Mike Krzyzewski's final year, and obviously he's getting a lot of attention, and so is Duke, a good team as well. What did he do for your son that helped him as an NBA basketball player, or is it two different things, college and NBA game?
The college game and the NBA game are two different games. You know, there's zones, sometimes a lot of clutter, teams running 2-3 zones, no spacing and things of that nature. The speed of the game is different. The physicality, the length of the athlete, and the difference in the NBA and college, the biggest difference is everybody in college is an amateur. Everybody in the pros is a pro. And everybody in the pros has made the pros. Everybody that's in college is not going to make the pros. So you could watch a college game and see one pro on each team, or two pros on one team and one pro on the other. So you're watching 10 guys, but you're watching three pros.
And that's if it's a really good game.
Yes, and when you watch an NBA game, you got 10 pros out there on the floor at all times.
Did Krzyzewski, was he able to guide him at all? Was there anything any pearls of wisdom that he garnered from him?
I'm sure he dropped some nuggets of knowledge on him along the way, you know. But for the most part, my son came to Coach K and every other program already tuned up and ready.
Game ready.
Because I got 25 years of this experience myself. So the reason Coach K came after my son is because of what my son became before Coach K. So, you know, I'm sure he dropped a nugget of knowledge or so, but he didn't develop my son. He didn't give my son no game. He brought my son to Duke, and my son ran his plays. You didn't improve on my son's development. You didn't improve on my son's footwork. So only thing I could say, he might have dropped some knowledge on him, but as far as the skill set, no, he didn't improve my son. And, I mean, not too many college programs develop players unless they stay there for a long time, you know. So, you know, I'm not just saying Coach K, but he didn't develop my son. My son came to him ready. My son would have did whatever he did at Duke, he would have did the same thing or better anywhere else.
Gary Trent Sr. is our guest. Gary, now your son's got money. He's got everything that you could possibly want. And with that, he's got a lot of people that want his attention, right? He's got, if it's a financial planner, an agent, and dare I even say it, there's probably females out there that know how much, who he is and all those things. So what do you tell him?
Well, you know, everybody's out to get you until you see different. You don't look at this person and say, well, this person might be for the right thing. This person might not be. This person could be. No. Everybody that you can set your eyes on is guilty of some crime or some negativity or something they want to bring your way. And until they spend enough time around you and you see the truth and you see their true colors, they're guilty because, first and foremost, you don't need them.
So they can only hurt you, at least off the top.
Exactly. Everybody that's in your corner is the same people that helped you make it, and that's everybody in our household. You know what I'm saying? Nobody else helped you get there, so you don't have to rely on nobody else. Everybody in our household is why you got there.
So start there, and then think that way when you meet people, huh?
Yeah, and, you know, being young, you're gonna have to figure it out. You know, not every girl has wrong intentions. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, you have to, like I tell my son, you know, a lot of times people fall in love with the idea of being with you more than what it is to be with you.
Yeah.
You know, start thinking about the putting my feet up, getting the maid and the chef and the easy street life and dressing well and all this and that. So it's easy to fall in love with that idea. And if that's the idea or the life that they're going to want, they got to earn that. You know, like, you know, throughout my son's whole career, any girlfriend or any cousin or any homeboy this or that, nobody was in the gym with us. It was me and him.
Yes, it was. And I'm going to say, I can attest to that watching you two. Now, let me ask you about another team, and that's the Timberwolves. I'm sure you keep an eye on. When D'Angelo Russell's on the floor and everybody's healthy, they got a pretty good team. When they're not, they're not. I don't buy that Russell wants to really be here or that he loves basketball. How do you see it?
You know, I don't know him personally to where I can, you know, say, you know, I can measure what his heart is or his level of passion or whatnot. But, I mean, he's made it this far all his career. So, you know, you don't shoot the ball the way you do. You don't dribble. You don't come here and get a max deal in the NBA if he wasn't working at some level to achieve this. You know what I'm saying? It's hard. A team ain't just getting ready to just give up that amount of money, triple-digit money, for a guy who they didn't feel had the opportunity or work ethic. Now, maybe it isn't that maybe he's not in the spirit because of the losing energy. You know, that can drive on a guy who wants to win, who is used to success or whatever the case may be, and you keep losing. That can make people want to drive. And that's why everybody gives Paul Pierce, you know, a lot of credibility, because throughout those dreadful seasons in Boston, he never asked for a trade. He never left. He stayed loyal, and he ended up getting him one, you know?
Yeah, they brought it to him, you know, and they said, we're going to help you out here, Paul. And he got that title with KG and Ray Allen, and all of a sudden the big three was in play. Anthony Edwards, how do you like his game?
Well, I love his athletic ability, and I love his youthful energy. I bumped into him a few times in the city, and he just seems like a good kid, and he's just hooping. I love his arrogance. Mm-hmm. I love when he dunk on somebody and stare at him. I like the no back down attitude. So, yeah, I really like that kid out there a lot.
How about Karl Anthony Towns? Karl Anthony Towns looks to me like he can't get a call. And maybe the reason he can't get a call is because he complains about every call. I don't know. But how does it look to you? Because he's so talented and he's so good, but he doesn't seem to get the same calls the other guys get.
Well, you know, you got to play a little bit more physical, a little bit more strong, and instead of, you know, just like Jason Kidd got on Luka. You know, the more you cry to the referees for call, the more you fall on dead ears. You know, they're not hearing. You got a referee who's doing this every night, probably reffing more games than the season allows. And, you know, you're in his ear every night. He's hearing a guy in his ear every possession for damn near 2 hours every night. You're going to fall on dead ears, especially when they have an expectation of you to be a franchise player or to carry a team. They expect you to lead by example. So when your leaders are whining, you know, they're not respecting that.
What's the
thing about whining? You've never seen them overturn a call. That's why they had to institute the replay from video. The referee was going to turn over his call.
Well, what's your definition of a great leader in an NBA locker room?
You set the tone for focus. You set the tone with your energy and your performance at practice. And that carries over to the game. And what I mean by your energy, are you diving on the floor? Are you playing hard? Are you leading? Or are you one of these franchise prima donna who want to come to practice in flip-flops and sit around and be cool and just show up on game day and you make so much money that they can't trade you, or you make so much money that the coach really can't say nothing because you're making 30, 35 million and the coach making 10. You know what I'm saying? That's a sorry leader to me. So, you know, the epitome of a leader, I've been on a lot of different teams and, you know, a guy who led by example, Ticket, man. You know, I watched him during his MVP season. You know, another guy that was a great leader at a young age, to me, was a guy, Mike Finley.
You know, was Mike, he really? Michael Finley was, huh?
Well, Mike Finley looked up to Michael Jordan a lot. You mm-hmm. know, Mike worked on his game. You know, Mike dressed professional. Mike stayed in suits. You know, he came to the games ready to go. He had a great off-season work ethic. He came to the games clean and fresh. You know, very articulate, well-spoken guy. And as a youngster, you know, watching him be in my draft class, watching him make the All-Star game, being a teammate of his, you know, he had some good leadership in him. And then as I got older and I'm watching Ticket on another level, you talk about a Hall of Fame leader. You know, when you come in the locker room, all that cell phone, playing around, talking about what happened last night or talking about what you're doing after the game and all that, that wasn't in our locker room. You know, skipping shoot around and skipping practice and all that. We wasn't doing that, man. Everybody was accountable. Everybody was there. Everybody did their reps. Everybody did their walkthrough. And that all was set on the tone by Kev. You know, how the hell are you sitting out of practice? Kev played 40 minutes on Monday. Mike guard Tracy McGrady, 40 minutes on Tuesday. Guard Weber, first half. Page of the second half. And then on Wednesday at practice, he's trying to win the scrimmage. What type of person can sit out after that man done been out there doing that? You know, so to me, that was the epitome of the leadership, man. And, you know, that was the way he led. You know, you set the tone, and guys following that. And you got to have some structure. The air around your team has to be about success and focus. And if that's not the air, you won't be successful.
Okay, so do you think Jimmy Butler was or is a good leader because he got in guys' face, or was he selfish and just trying to create a deal for himself?
Well, you can't create a deal for yourself by getting in guys' faces. I think what pissed Jimmy off was when you tough, you hard-nosed, and you ready to compete at a level 10, and you got guys dragging in and guys like Wiggs who he feel like wasn't working hard and guys who ain't putting in that off-season work or guys playing soft and crying to the refs. You know, Jimmy was a good leader. He just was an aggressive leader. Like Martin Luther King, he was a great leader, but he led with peace. He led with calms. He led with chants. He led with boycotts. Malcolm X was a great leader, but he great lead with a whole bunch of soldiers and a whole bunch of revolutionary, energetic guys. They both were great leaders. They just led different ways, like Jordan. You know, he led in a lot of ways, screaming, being in guys' face, you know, being on guys. John Stockton was a leader, but you don't hear about Stockton yelling. You know, everybody leads in a different way. And it only makes you a good or bad leader by how your followers are able to respond.
Okay, so
if your followers can respond to being in their face screaming and yelling, then you're a great leader. Because there's some situations, I worked in suburb schools and city schools. When I worked in city schools, there's a different language and energy that I have to talk to.
Yes, there is.
Suburb kids.
Now, what would be, last question for you, what would be your definition of a great leader as a coach in the NBA? You mentioned it earlier, you alluded to it. You're not making the money the players are, and you might not have the length of contract, and yet you still, your job is to figure out a way to motivate them to perform. What is your definition of a coach that's a good leader in the NBA? What does that person look like and feel like?
Well, the first thing, he has to have personality. You have to have personality, and you have to have great preparation skills. Your preparation skills is what's going to make high-level players respect you or not respect you. When you have an insatiable appetite like a Kobe or a Jordan or a Garnett, when you have that level of appetite, the preparation that you see the coach put the team through, knowing scouting reports, knowing how to angle guys in defense and cut things off like that, and how to take certain things away, that will make the players respect the coach from a professional standpoint. Now, how you lead as a coach, how you talking to guys. Are you kissing this guy's butt, but then when somebody else does it, you come down on him like with a hammer?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, are you a fair coach? Are you fair about the opportunities? Are you seeing one of your players struggle and having the film guy say, hey, Joe Blow been struggling a little bit. You know, put a couple of minutes of some edits together to help him work on something. Or are you like, hey, he's struggling, so what? You know, those are the things that make a great coach. You know, I coach Little League. And like I told my assistant guys, I'm only as good as my last player becomes. So when I met you today and you were a level one player, how great were you when you left me? Did you become a level 5, 6, 7, or did you only go to a 2? And that's how you lead. You know, when you see players struggling, it's not hard to lead a Kobe. All you got to do is toss the ball to Kobe or Mike. But how do you lead a guy who's still developing, a guy who's still young, a guy who still hasn't figured it out yet?
I'm hearing you. I got to tell you, GT, you and I together are pretty good on these sessions. I'm just telling you, okay? This is good podcastable material, you know?
Man, I appreciate it. I appreciate you reaching out to me and still valuing my voice and opinion.
We'll do it again soon. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Gary Trent Sr.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.